Welcome to Word Life Church. My name is Pastor Freddie Minifield. You know, I'm so excited that you joined us today. I don't believe it's a coincidence. One thing I know for sure is that the Word of God will make all the difference in your life. And the word you hear today is going to encourage you, it's going to challenge you, and it's going to impact your forever. So whatever you do, get all the distractions away, and you tune in and expect to hear from heaven. And after the message, don't go anywhere. I'd love the opportunity to pray with you on any needs that you may have in your house or your household. You know, there is no time, space, or distance in the spirit realm. You can be healed, delivered, saved right where you are. So stay tuned after the message. We'll see you then.
Amen. Awesome. So I get the opportunity to try to finish up our series here, Taking Ground. But before I get into today's topic, I just want to kind of go over what we've been studying. It has been a phenomenal, phenomenal time in the Word. It really has. So, you know, you have the opportunity as well. If you weren't here, you can get on Facebook. We have a Facebook account. You can also get on YouTube, where you can go back through the scriptures, through the teaching, and allow God and the Holy Spirit to minister to you as to what you need to do next. Amen? So we've been talking about taking ground, and we're going to do just a little bit of review. We have some sheets here with the notes on it, and you know, those of you online, you can just let us know where you need to find the notes, and we'll tell you how to get them. So a little bit about the main thing that we were talking about taking ground was momentum. And momentum is measured by the product of mass and velocity. But for us as believers, it's really measured by our faith and our obedience. Absolutely, our faith and obedience. That is the momentum that we want to have in our life and that we want to continue to strive to have in order to do all of what God would have us to do and really to know all of what God would have us to know. Amen? So in our first series, it was called Gaining Momentum. In that series, what we talked about was the greater impacts the lesser. The Christ in me imparts every situation around me is defeated because of Jesus inside of me. I can walk through any situation. I can deal with any situation because it's not me dealing with the situation. It's the Jesus in me that shatters all those things that seem to be big. They're now little when I understand that. I'm able to walk in the authority that I was given. I don't know if you know that. Oh, Jesus, I'm a preach today. I'm able to walk in the authority that I was given. Okay. Then we had sustaining momentum. We actually had two Sundays of sustaining momentum. And in that lesson, we learned about kingdom living and a freedom because we see our inner image. God doesn't change because of our situations. Neither does the victory over the situation. God doesn't change, neither does the victory that you have over the situation. It's all perspective. So you have to get the right perspective to understand what you're dealing with before you walk through a situation, before a situation is thrown on you, before you find yourself in a situation. You need to know who you are and what your identity is in Jesus. Then we talked about forward momentum. And forward momentum was a demonstration of faith. That faith has a voice, and it starts on the inside. You know, the enemy can't make you quit. You start believing what God says about you when you're forward momentum. And then last week, we had the opportunity to teach together, and we talked about being better together. We talked about what taking ground meant, you know, allowing God to be the force behind us. We talked about why we taking ground, because God's promises require action. I gave the analogy, if there's a treasure, your pirates go and they look for treasure, that's their whole goal is for treasure. When they find the treasure, if they don't do anything with the treasure, all they do is have treasure. So we have to do something with the things that God has given us in order to acquire the promises of God. It is pretty simple. We make it so complicated. We also talked about how do we take ground, and that's to follow God's orders. Just do what he tells you. That's where obedience comes into play, right? And now today, we get to talk about don't give up on your dreams. I said, don't give up on your dreams. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in hearing the word and hearing what someone says, what's ministered in church, when other people that we're listening to, the things of God. We get so caught up in what they're saying that we don't take the time to see us with what they're talking to and how that applies to us. So then it becomes, well, that was a good word. That was a good this. Or so many people come through your mind about they need that word that was heard, rather than you taking the time to take in that word and see what God wants to do with the word on the inside of you that was just deposited. So today we're going to talk about don't give up on your dreams. A couple scriptures are for this lesson. We're going to go to Jeremiah 29:11. Jeremiah 29:11. Get it on the screen. Perfect. And it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That means God has plans for you. Doesn't matter where you are, where you think you are, where you want it to be, where you didn't go, decision that you made that took you over here, God has plans for you. And when you understand that God has plans for you, that means nobody can take away those plans. It's up to you to decide to do those plans. Second scripture, Proverbs 3:5, one of my favorite. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision that you make. There's not much more that you need than that scripture. If you're trusting in the Lord with everything that you have, you're not relying on yourself or what you think or what you feel or what you see or what you think you know or the experience that you went through or because they said or because he did, you are trusting in the Lord. And we have to practice the presence of God. We have to practice knowing and understanding that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And until you really practice that and get in a rhythm or a momentum of practicing that, all these things keep coming at you instead of you standing on top of them. Amen? Awesome. So a dream, what's a dream? A dream is a series of thoughts, images, and sensations occurring in a person's mind. A lot of people talk about dreams when you go to sleep. And that is one way that in the Word, it shows us that God uses dreams to kind of foretell different things that happen in people's lives or give them warnings or cast a vision, an imagination. That's what God does in a dream. But a dream is also a cherished aspiration, an ambition, an ideal. A dream can become your passion. So I'll tell you a little something about me. When I was a child, me and my family, my father was in the military and we lived overseas. And it was the start of what Satan was trying to prevent in my life. And so I had some challenging times as a child. And I remember as a little person, I would have challenges going to sleep. My sister would have challenges. We would both have challenges, just different things that were going on that weren't right. So I remember programming myself to dream. I loved weddings. So I would tell myself before I go to sleep, you're going to have a wedding, and your dress is going to look like this, and this is where it's going to be. I never visualized or pictured what my husband looked like or any of that stuff. I just liked the event. So I knew it was a pleasant thing for me. I loved it. So when I would go to sleep, I would say, this is what you're going to dream tonight, and I would dream it. It was amazing. It was amazing, and I didn't realize that that was a gift and talent until I was older. Because, see, as children, we encourage our children to use their imagination. But as adults, we need to apply our imagination in everything that we do in order to have the dreams that are put on the inside of us. So going back, you know, just remember, we are a tripart being, you know, and this is the baseline, what you got to remember, that, you know, we have a body, we have a soul, which is our mind, our intelligence, our imagination. We also have a spirit. So we're one third taken care of when we accept Jesus as the Lord of our life. It's the other two parts of us that we got to continue to work out. Well, dreams and your imagination are a part of your soul. So we continue to work on our soul and renew our soul. And as we go through this life and learn more and more of our spirit, it spills over into our soul to perfect us as a complete being. But we're human. But it's so important that we spend some time in our soul, because the soul is where all those five emotions are, you know, and those emotions are there too, that pull you in different ways. Because a lot of times we don't feel like doing it, or we think we know. All of those things that move us outside of what God would want us to have, those are the things that are encompassed in our soul. So when I'm talking about dreams, I'm talking about your mind, talking about your imagination, that's all in your soul. Everybody with me? Awesome. You know, a little side note, you know, when I say that a dream becomes your passion, you know, y'all know Pastor Freddie has some passion for me. I don't know if y'all knew that. Yeah, passion. You know, what passion is, it doesn't have to be just a physical thing, but passion is something, it's a strong, barely controllable emotion. When you're passionate about something, you're all in. And he's all into me, just in case y'all didn't know. There was a really critical time before we got married, you know, after we had gone through our 4 months of marriage counseling. I said 4 months of marriage counseling. There was a time when we had to make the decision if we were going to be married or not. And there was so much that happened in our relationship that I was like, you know, I don't know. I just want to do what God would have me to do. And I remember the passion that he had for me met every single one of the love languages that I had. He wasn't doing anything to get me. He was doing everything to compliment me. And it was an amazing time to where I really got to see and feel and understand with all those emotions what God had for me. Because, you know, God's been passionate for each and every one of us ever since he let his son die on the cross. Every time you have a little something happen, you go, oh, thank you, Lord, that was you. It was him. Every time you feel like you have favor come before you where you get a good parking spot, it was God. Yeah, that's him loving on you. God has passion for us. He pursues us. He loves us so much that he did not want to have heaven without us. God has a passion for us. We have a passion for him. Amen? So let's take a little bit more of the word, and then we'll talk a little bit more. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 and 13. They're always coming to fix me. Sorry, everybody. Oh, you hear me better? Praise God. Thank you for your patience. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Got my rhythm all off now, you people. We have that? Awesome. Let's read it together. Ready? Read. Amen. You can't get any more clear than that either. You know, the Word of God, we need the Word of God. We don't need the Word of God just to have Bible verses that we say when we, you know, have a situation that comes up. We need the Word of God to apply to our lives, that we take to God and say, God, because this is what your Word says, I'm believing what your Word says, so I need to apply this to my life. You know, the Word of God has to be the foundation in which we move in and which we operate in. It has to be the first, not the last thing that we turn to. It absolutely has to be the first thing. You know, the light and the illumination of God's Word is what we need to fill our imagination with. You know, illumination means the clarification. So, you know, time spent with God will allow you to be able to understand more what the Word of God is saying, and it will also paint you pictures in your imagination of what God is trying to give you, tell you, or have you do for him. You know, when it says meditate in the Word, you know, we meditate in the Word, it becomes very simple if we allow it to be. Meditating in the Word is taking a look at that scripture and asking the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what it is that the scripture is saying to me. And then after you ask that question, you start praying and you ask, please, fill me with ideas as to what that looks like. You know, what is it that I'm supposed to do? What am I supposed to have? You know, it's not a coincidence that you like particular colors, or you like particular house styles, or you like particular vehicles. Where do you think all that comes from? There is a God in heaven that created you. There's an original blueprint that gets the makeup of what you have, your gifts and your talents, all over there. You know, instead of spending time going from thing to thing to thing, or person to person to validate you, go to God so he can give you the light and the illumination of his word in order for you to know and understand who you are and how you do what you do. It's so very important. And so, you know, I know when we talk about momentum and we get excited about momentum, and those of you that are, you know, seasoned in the word of God, you know God, you know how God is, but does God know you? We can't continue to say scriptures and apply scriptures just when it's convenient to the situation. We have to apply these scriptures to our heart so they come out of our understanding and our belief, so that instead of just saying it, we believe it more than we say it. And we say it to complement all against all of our five senses so that we can apply it in our lives. Oh, y'all not making enough noise for me. That is a good word right there. That is a good word. So when you have a situation come up and you have the word of God and you start using the word of God, it's not just you confessing it. Confessing it is a part of it, but it's the belief that you have in that word that God already went before you, because you know what I said? His word never changed. So that word was there before you even needed it. It was there. So that means it was established before you even needed it. You didn't even know you needed it until you picked it up and looked at it. But just because you picked up and looked at it doesn't mean that it was effective at that moment. It was always effective. God was always there. And so when you know and you understand that, you start getting into this level of wanting to go deeper in God, wanting to have more of him, wanting to worship him in spirit and in truth, wanting to have what he says you can have. You know, the biggest thing, and I think we've taught our children, is that if you could qualify it in the word, then you deserve it. You can't have desires that you come to mom and dad, me and Pastor Freddie, and say, I want this, I want that. Well, tell me in the word where it says you're able to have that. So when you qualify it with the word of God, and that's not just for our children, that's for us as God's children, we need to qualify what it is that we want, because if those desires are not our God, then why are you desiring it? We need to just eliminate that and start getting into the things of God, what he would have us to have. And you know what will happen? What will happen is you'll get so you will be succumbed by the word of God that all you want is more of him. And everything that you get is just a reflection of his glory here on this earth to testify to someone else about his goodness so that they will be drawn towards him. It's so true, and it's so important. You know, we really are all lights here on the earth. We really, truly are. I was having a conversation with my husband this morning. I was saying, you know, I'm so grateful for our kids. You know, they really are light. If I had to go home to heaven today, I'm so grateful that each one of them are a light here. Now, some of them shine brighter than the others, but they're all lights. And that's a blessing to be able to say that. And the Holy Spirit ministered to me, and he said, and you guys are lights too. There is no big this or little that. We're all God's children. And that means all of the promises are yes and amen. So you don't have to give up on your dreams. You absolutely don't. Get me carried away. So, you know, what's really important that I want to make sure that I cover here is, you know, a lot of people will continue to equate God and the devil in the same bucket. And that's wrong thinking. God is God. The devil is an angel that fell that's down here. Yes, he has a legion of demons. Yes, he has some kind of setup down there. But you know what? And this is his world. But we have full and final authority here on the earth because of the Jesus inside of us. We have full and final authority. And when you equate the devil to be as big as he would like for you to do, then you lose the momentum and the power of what God can do. Because you're trying to equate as if they're equal enemies. There's no equaling the God that we serve. There's nothing that equals that. The devil can't come close. All he can do is use your senses and your belief to exercise what he thinks he can in order to create some false sense of authority. You can walk into a hospital and have everyone healed. You absolutely can. It's up to you to believe that you can. Not because of you, but because of the power that's inside of you. So again, going back to the dreams, you know, there's so many things that I have on my heart as far as the dreams I have for my children and the dreams I have for my husband and for our church and all of that. And how many of you know it's always easier to dream for somebody else than it is to dream for yourself? It just absolutely is. I can pray over anybody and say, you're healed. But when it comes to my healing, I have to stand and really, really get concerned to believe that God loves and cares about me so much that he would have it happen. Not because I don't believe God is able, but I have to understand the value of what I have in him, that it's already done. It's just a matter of me grabbing on and gravitating to what he wants to do in me right then and right there. So it just really is. And that's the same way when it comes to your dreams. There are things that are inside of you that God spoke to your heart, spoke to your life, spoke to everything that you know of to be true for what he wanted you to do for him on this earth. There are absolute dreams inside of you. There are things that God has spoken to me. There are things that are spoken to those that are watching online. God has spoke to you and said, I want you to do this. And for whatever reason, you've lost the passion to go after all of what God had told you to do. And the reason why you've lost that passion is because it's a strategy of the enemy to make you feel as if it was a silly request. The spiritual things really, they're kind of dull. Because God didn't come through in that one thing, then that means it really wasn't of him. So that means that I need to sit back and just wait until something really shows me that it's him so that I can actually go and pursue it. Or you're sitting back in that last experience where you were disappointed, you were hurt, you became bitter, you were standing there and not able to move forward. You are giving up on your dreams. But I'm here to tell you that you don't have to give up on your dreams. If God placed it in there, inside of you, he gave you everything that you need in order for it to be fulfilled in your life. You know, I often said with our children, everything that I said about them, how great they were, how wonderful, and I really got an understanding is they're just hoping that I'm right. They really were just hoping that I was right about them. And you know what? Sometimes that's how we are. Well, we got this word from God, but we're just hoping that it's right. I'm here to let you know and remind you that it's right. I'm here to let you know that, you know what, you don't have to give up on your dreams. You don't have to give up on anything. You don't have to say, no, I'm not going to do it. You don't have to be the odd one out. You can be the God one in order for God to continue to do what he wants to do in your life. You know, you're guaranteed to achieve your goals with God. He put it inside of you. So when you're going about asking God, what do I need to do? Taking authority over stuff, saying, God, I need a CPA to come in my life. Lord, can you send that CPA? I take authority over my finances because I am a tither. I'm a tither. And, you know, the devil's not going to take my money. I'm going to sit up here and just tell him what he's going to do for me. And everything that was stolen from me will be returned to me. And you don't say it just because it's something to say. You say it because you believe it. Because right now, if I had my car outside, if I got the brand new car that I'm believing for, it was outside, I wouldn't do anything but drive and yell. I would just drive and yell because I'm excited about what God's doing. Because it takes me believing it first in order for it to come to pass. And another thing it takes obedience. Some of you are still at the last thing that God told you to do. You haven't done what he told you to do, so how can you expect to get directions to do the next thing? We sometimes get so stuck in ourselves, get so stuck in a situation. I understand COVID was not great for everybody. I lost my brother to COVID, so I totally understand it. I understand all the political agenda and this and that, all that's going on. I understand the left and the right, and it doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God. I can debate all day and tell somebody why I'm right, but that doesn't make them any less righteous than it makes me any less righteous. It really doesn't matter. And why people are wanting me to get so upset and so frustrated because they want this and they're going to take that away from us. And they're this. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on the word of God because he says that no evil is going to come near my dwelling. I'm going to stand on the word of God because whatever the situation is, I know he's with me to get me through that. Are there not so happy things that happen? Absolutely. But that doesn't mean I have to give up on my dreams. That means I have to go through something to get to the other side of what God has for me next. And when you're looking at people and you start seeing other people being successful in the things of God, and you're looking at people talk about they're trying to, the prosperity message this and the faith message that and all of that, quit looking and listening to everybody else and live your life before God. But I bet you a lot of those people are people who are more obedient than we were. It's just about obedience. God rewards those that continue to do what he asked them to do. My husband and I were out to dinner yesterday, and my daughter, Tatiana, some of y'all know her, she is just like a little faith bucket. Sometimes we want to give her a list, and can you go to God for us? Yes, she's just like on fire for God, and we just love her so much, and she's amazing. So she had been telling me, and I just see the transformation. She went to Tucson. Don't be sad for me, but she went to Tucson just yesterday. And before that week, God was continuing to show me the little things of how our relationship's going to be now. So instead of we having face-to-face, she would call me a lot. And she said, Mom, God told me to do this, and God told me to do that. And I would just be waiting for the next phone call. Well, me and my husband were out to dinner yesterday, and we were in the parking lot, and we're walking to the car, and the Lord told me, say something to that family. And so I was just being me. I'll talk to anybody, almost. I just said hi, and then he said, invite them to the church. And I said, okay, I'll invite them to the church. So I did that, right? And I was like, oh, Lord, he's going to do me like he's doing Tatiana. And then I thought about it. I'm like, he's going to do me like he's doing Tatiana. We sat down and we started to eat, and it really isn't if you know me, it isn't really my personality. I'm more the introvert in the house. He's the extrovert. So it's not really my personality to be just saying hey and all this and that. If I know you, we're going to have a good time, as I am the life of the party. But if I don't know you, I'm not like, we'll let you have your space and we have mine. And not that day. So I was sitting there. We saw this other couple across the way, and I was like, oh, wow, she's really pretty, headdress and everything. And Laura said, well, make sure you say hi to her. I'm like, oh, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. So she got ready to go, and I was like, well, Lord, if it's really you, make her come over here, right? If this is really you, because I don't want to get it, because I'm just not of that. But I knew it was him, because if it's something you don't want to do, listen to that. If it's something that you don't want to do, but it has a God result, all he's using you as a vessel, because that's what you said you wanted to be used, right? Right? So she gets up, and I said, oh, your headdress is so pretty, you look nice. And she goes, oh, I'm new to the Valley. I'm like, well, what church do you go to? And she said, we don't have a church, So I gave her one of our church cards, and I said, okay. And I was like, okay, God, I'm just doing what you have me to do. And he said, that's all that I want you to do, is just do what I have you to do. The results are up to me. The results are up to me. I was like, yes. So many times we look at other people's lives. I look at my daughter's life. I look at my son. I look at the different people around us, and we see God's blessing and what they're doing and how they're moving towards what God would have them. And we celebrate them. We go, yay. But then we look back and go, oh, wait, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I'm telling you, it's time out for what you're doing. You have to continue to be in momentum. You have to continue to pursue God. You have to do whatever you know to do. And if you don't know what to do, do what you know. Do what you know. The only proof of desire is pursuit. We have to pursue God. We have to go after God with all that means. If that means, listening to worship music, because I'm really into worship music, listening to worship music, in order for me to tap out of me and tap into God, do that. It should take reading the word, because you want to read some scriptures to get into your heart so that you can have those scriptures come back up when things happen, because that's what the Holy Spirit is there for. That's what he said he would do it. He would be a comforter. He would remind us of things. You want to do whatever it takes to pursue God. You know, in this new environment that we're in, a lot of people are able to watch church online. And I'm so grateful because we get to go outside of the four walls. But don't forsake the assembling together, where there'll be people in the church, because we, in our household, we believe everything comes out of our church. There'll be people here that not only will meet your need, but you'll be able to meet their need. And that's a God thing. And it continues to grow you and develop you in what God would have you to have and have you to do. You absolutely need to know that God is as faithful as we are obedient. He's a faithful, faithful God. We sing about it. We think we know. We believe we understand. And I can tell you, every time you get up, you can testify of the goodness and the grace of God. Because it says in the word, grace and mercy follow us all the days of our life. So don't think that you didn't get into that accident just because you didn't get into it. You have grace and mercy that are following you all the days of your life. You have to take those scriptures and apply them to your life and believe it. I'm like, you know, because my grace and mercy right now, they're big. They're like big old football players. So when I leave the house, I'm like, come on, Grace. Come on, Mercy. Add a little mercy. Mercy, bring somebody with you because I need a little bit more mercy today. You have to, and that's what we do in our imagination. You know, animation is not just for kids. We have animated lives if we allow ourselves to. Because, you know, the spirit realm is more real than the natural. It's more real than natural. And we get so marveled and we see these cartoons. What's the Paw Patrol? Or we see all these different cartoons and Star Trek and all of, you know, I could go through all of them, all the Matrix, all that stuff. And we're fascinated by those movies and wow, and the dimensions. But what about the dimensions in God? We try to fill God in this little box. And if God doesn't fit in this box, then we're frustrated and we're upset that God didn't do it. God didn't move. You have to throw that box away and receive everything that God has for you. God is everywhere, and he's so deeper than what we can think and understand, and he's operating in so many different dimensions at one time that our little human mind cannot understand it. But we can believe for it. We can absolutely, totally, and completely believe for it. So you just have to remember that God is as faithful as we are obedient. So as we're getting ready to wrap this up, let's talk about the application. Is this good? Okay, just checking. Okay, our number one, what's the first thing we have to do? Ask God for what he established for you. Ask God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the one that that created you. You know, a lot of times people will go to a bar and they'll have alcohol and they'll have a drink. And I'm not coming against that. You do whatever you feel led to do. But I always find it so interesting when you don't participate in those activities that people put you on the outside. Oh, she doesn't want to drink. Well, I'll tell you why I don't want to drink. I don't want to drink because when I drink, it changes who I am. It changes who I am. That liquor changes who I am. I am a lightweight. I can have a glass of wine. I'm messed up. It changes who I am. So I would rather spend time with the one who created me to change who I am rather than some alcohol. That's just me. You don't have to do that. You have to be led by the Spirit of God. And if that's your thing, that's your thing. Let God meet you where you are. I think so many people are trying to put on airs or trying to go through the life, putting on things for other people, when you have to take everything off and get before the Lord so he can deal with you where you are. He just wants to deal with you where you are because that's what he wants to use, where you are, to take you where you want to go, where he's ordained for you to go and what he's called you to do. Forgive yourself. Forgive yourself and forgive everyone else. I probably tell my husband almost every day, I forgive you. It's not for him, it's for me. It's for me to keep me going, I forgive you. And he just goes, thank you. I really, truly do have to do that because, you know, what's the enemy is so clever, he will take something that happened back in 1992, where you got your feelings hurt and you remember that wound that happened in your heart, he will bring that back up to the day when he got the peanut butter jar out. If you give him room, he'll try that. And then he'll try to attach things to your health, to where you had bitterness or brokenness or something that happened that was a detrimental mark on your heart. He'll try to attach that to your heart and leave you your heart in that condition to where it starts affecting your body. to where you have symptoms and diagnosis that the doctor is telling you. Well, we love doctors. Doctors give you facts. But the faith of the matter is that you have to release and forgive that, to release that in order for your health to be all that it needs to be. So forgive yourself, and a lot of us have put ourselves in situations. You made the decision that you made. You got into a situation that you got. But you know what? If you could please stop living in the past so that you can be in the present, so you can have a future, we'd appreciate it. We'd really appreciate it. Because there's so much more that needs to be done. Look at the world around us that's hurting. If you spend more time thinking about you and yourself and what's going on with you, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong, because you have the answer when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have the answer when you have the way out to choose God over anything else. You have the answer. There's something wrong where you think you need to turn your attention and your thinking to something else other than yourself and turn it to the Lord. Amen? Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Me and the Holy Spirit, we're like this. We go shopping together. We get deals together. He brings things back to your remembrance, and he also takes things away from your memory. There are things that I don't remember, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I don't remember it. But he's my partner. Jesus left him here so we could have that. And if you're not tapped in or filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, if you don't have that, you can get it today. Amen? You can get it today. It is like having a dessert and really getting the sweetness of the dessert. A dessert is good. That's being saved. But what about food? Dessert is good, but having that special dessert is sweeter. And the Holy Spirit is sweeter in your life. So get some of him. Make time to spend, dedicated time to spend with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and God as a Trinity is a trifold being. It's a package deal. You know, you want to understand and see how God sees something that's happening in your life, how Jesus sees it, and how the Holy Spirit sees it. Invite them into the conversation. Ask them, God, how do you see this? What's going on? Holy Spirit, what do you see? Jesus, what will you see? Because, you know, Jesus died for you and walked upon this earth as a human. He can tell you. Holy Spirit is there to bring things back to your remembrance of things that are in your heart, to be your comforter, your guide. And God is God. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He created you. And so what better time to spend with someone that created you and knows you in and out and created you that you don't even know why you do what you do, but God does. And you can spend that time with them to get it. And then the last thing I'll say is we want to praise God. We want to praise him. We want to praise God. You know, there's so many things that are going on in this world. There's so many things going on in our life. We owe him praise. We just owe him praise. And, you know, it's the easiest way for you to get out of what you're feeling, what you're thinking. It's the easiest way is to lift up a praise to him. You know, one of the names of God is Jehovah Jireh, and that means that he's your provider. That means he's your provider. That means that anything that you're lacking or missing, you can go to God in order to receive that. God is everything. I love him so much because he loved me. And he's available to love you. He's available to take any and every situation that's going on in your life. He's available for you to understand and know that he wants to be the one to help you do it. He is always enough, never too much. More than enough. And so we have an opportunity today for us to praise together. So there's a worship song that I'd like for us to stand to your feet. I want you to lift your hands up. I want you to celebrate with me as we go before the Father and just celebrate with this song called Jireh. It's everything.
Wasn't that a powerful message? Isn't God good? You know, one thing I know for sure, the Word of God never returns void. It's always going to do what it's supposed to do. So here's your challenge. Apply the Word of God that you heard today. If this message has been a blessing to you in any way, I'm encouraging you to consider sowing a seed. You know, here at Word Life, we're seeing lives transform. We're seeing people saved, healed, delivered. And that happens through partnership. So we welcome your partnership if you feel led to come and be a part of what God is doing here. If you have any prayer requests, let us know. We would love the opportunity. I'm going to pray for everybody here in a second. But if you have anything specific, let us know. We would love the opportunity to partner with you in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every viewer. Father, I add my faith to their faith right now. In the name of Jesus, I speak blessings over their lives, over their children, over their households. I boldly declare that they are above only and not beneath. They are the head and not the tail, and they walk in victory in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next time.